On June 19, 1623, in Clermont-Ferrand, a provincial city surrounded by the dark reliefs of the Massif Central, Blaise Pascal was born. He did not arrive in the world in a palace nor in poverty, but in that intermediate space where material security exists, but also obligations, appearances, and the pressure to measure up. His family belonged to the so-called nobility of the robe, a stratum of officials and jurists whose influence depended less on the sword than on the office, the seal, and the law. In 17th century France, that detail mattered. Power was concentrating, and the state needed men capable of counting, drafting, judging, and obeying. Clermont-Ferrand, at that time, was not the center of the world. However, it was a place sufficiently connected for ideas to circulate, and sufficiently contained for family ties to weigh more than fastens. Life unfolded with a mixture of daily religiosity, clear hierarchies, and an economy dependent on the land, regional commerce, and tributes. For a child, this environment could be protective, for an adult, it could feel confining. And for someone with an extraordinary sensitivity, it could be both at the same time. In that household, the decisive figure was not the newborn, but his father, Étienne Pascal. A local judge, a man of public office, and at the same time a serious amateur of mathematics, he embodied a typical figure of his class. Rational, disciplined, convinced that study was a form of virtue. It was not unusual, in that social circle, for an official to cultivate elevated knowledge. What was singular was the intensity with which Étienne Pascal turned his children's education into a personal project. Years later, that decision would end up shaping Blaise Pascal's life in such a profound way that it's almost hard to separate the talent from the method by which it was nurtured. The mother, Antoinette Bigon, appears in biographies as a brief presence and, precisely for that reason, decisive. She died when Blaise Pascal was around 3 years old. Strictly speaking, the child would hardly have retained clear memories, but childhood does not need conscious memory to be marked. Early absence usually leaves something more persistent than an image. An emotional climate. In the Pascal family, that climate translated into a household run by a widowed father who never remarried, and who concentrated authority, planning, and affection in a very particular way. Early losses are managed as best they can be. Some families disintegrate, others harden. In the case of the Pascals, everything indicates that the grief contributed to reinforcing the domestic structure. Schedules, reading, learning, discipline. It is not a cold image from lack of affection, but from an excess of responsibility. Étienne Pascal had three children in a position to protect. Furthermore, he believed that the best defense was education. To that impulse was added something more intimate. When an adult feels overwhelmed by what they cannot control, they often throw themselves with more force into what is controllable. Educating could also be a way of keeping the world in order. Blaise Pascal's childhood unfolded alongside his two sisters, Gilbert Pascal, the eldest, and Jacqueline Pascal, the youngest. It is important to name them from the start because, in that household, intelligence was not an exclusive attribute of the male. Jacqueline Pascal, in particular, would show remarkable precocity in literature and theater, and her character would, over time, become an uncomfortable mirror for her brother. Devout, firm, capable of radical decisions. Even in the early years, the presence of the sisters configured a home where conversation, reading, and intellectual performance were part of the air. Now, it would be a mistake to imagine a household dedicated to letters as if it were isolated from the world. France, in 1623, was a country with open wounds and enormous ambitions. Louis XIII had been reigning since 1610, after the assassination of his father, Henri IV. For a time, effective power was in the hands of his mother, Marie de Medici, in a regency marked by intrigues, noble disputes, and religious tensions.